I'm going to call the Monday, November 14th, 2011 meeting to order. Mr. Atchley, if you'd like to establish a quorum.
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Yeah.
Welcome, by the way.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
And we have established a quorum.
Okay, very good. Thank you. You want to explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. And the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you'd like to comment at the public hearing, there's a sign-up sheet right at the front here at the table. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. You'll need to walk to the podium at the front of the room and address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held one week from today's date. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comment should be taken unless expressly requested by the commission. You may leave after the case is heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I noticed that on our agenda, I think as we spoke about earlier, it looks like, Benita, we've got folks. If anybody wants to speak on any of these three items that we're hearing tonight, if you haven't signed up, you do need to sign up here up front. They're separate ones, depending upon which one you want to speak on, that you would need to sign up on. Do we have folks signed up on all three of them?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we'll just take them in the order they are. I thought
okay.
Maybe we wouldn't. So the presentation of the exhibits is what you have on the call to order next. And I believe the first one is 798 Parkview Drive Rental House. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have somebody here representing that tonight? Okay, very good. And what we're going to do, just to let everybody know on all these, we've learned a little bit, is we're going to have the folks that are applying present first, so maybe they'll answer some questions for you before you even start. And then after everybody else speaks and has any questions, we'll have them come up to answer some questions to us that we may have that you bring forward to us. So that's how that'll work a little bit. So go ahead.
Okay. This is case number 2011-23. This is the public hearing for nightly rental of a single-family residence located at 798 Parkview Drive, Hollister, Missouri. The request, the applicants, Donald and Judith Hahn, are requesting approval of a special use permit in order to utilize an existing grandfathered single-family residence for nightly rental. The history on this, according to the assessor's information, the home was constructed in 1983. The property was purchased by Donald and Judith Hahn in 1984. The applicants have indicated that this single-family residence has been utilized as a rental home since the time of purchase. In 2007, there was a special use permit proposal that came before the Planning Commission in this same Poverty Point area for both nightly rental and a bed and breakfast that experienced a large amount of opposition. The application was denied and later unsuccessfully appealed to the Board of Adjustment. According to the Planning Commission minutes for Monday, June 16, 2008, Mr. Preston presented a new sign regarding nightly or weekly rental in any single-family residence being against the code. This new sign has been posted once so far. Mr. Hershen stated that this was done to protect the public. The sign in question is located at the corner of Dale Road and Winkle Drive and states, "Notice nightly or weekly rental of any residence violates county codes and may be prosecuted." However, as the commission knows, the Taney County Development Guidance Code does not indicate that nightly rental violates any of the adopted regulations so long as a special use permit is obtained. The current application was approved for concept on October 17th of this year.
I want to stop you right there for just a second on that, being that we've got that, just to make sure that we're clear up here and out there, that sign's there to let folks know that they have to come in to do exactly what the applicant is doing here to request that before they have any nightly rentals. And then it would have to be approved before they have any nightly rentals.
Yes.
So it's not saying that they absolutely cannot be allowed. It just has to be approved first.
Okay. That's correct.
All right.
The general description of the property, the subject property is approximately a 120-foot by 170-foot lot, and it contains a 1,356-square-foot single-family residence. It's located at 798 Parkview Drive in Hollister in the Parkview Beach subdivision. And this is just some, this is basically the location of that property. And just to kind of zoom in on it, here's the property in question. The review on this, the exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same. The Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental, of course, as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days. So basically, currently the applicant would have the ability to rent the residence for basically any period greater than the 30 days or greater. The applicants are proposing to rent the home on a weekly basis and have indicated that only a single family will be allowed to rent the proposed property with no more than six adult guests staying at one time. The property is currently served by a private well and the Taney County Regional Sewer District. A letter has been received from the Regional Sewer District indicating that the existing equipment will be adequate to handle the flow for this, but that they will have to look at this as a non-residential billing, basically. The residence is in compliance with the setback requirements. The existing parking area is approximately 20 feet by 70 feet and will accommodate six parking spaces for cars, car-sized spaces, meeting or exceeding the requirements of the Development Guidance Code. There's an existing privacy fence along the back of the property, and a letter has been provided by the Western County Fire Protection District indicating that water for fire suppression would be obtained either from an established water supply or a water tanker shuttle. The project received a negative 5 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 29. The relative policies that received a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal surface, and use compatibility. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Of course, compliance with the Taney County Development Guidance Code, compliance letters from fire and sewer districts, and those are all already on file. No outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. The decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, the staff was recommending that a privacy fence should be provided along the western property boundary between the property in question and the adjacent single-family residence. And sixth, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And now we have just a brief video of the site. I took two here, but they're both very brief. One's of the front of the property. This is the video of the front of the property. This is the residence in question, and this is the parking area. It is fairly close to this other existing residence, and so that's why we were recommending a fence along that side. This is, of course, across the street. And we shot one behind, and it's pretty brief as well, but just to show what was behind the home and everything. There is, it's a little hard to see, but there's a privacy fence along the back.
And is this request, is it coming in as a
it's actually regular, worked upon as a special use permit.
Special use. Okay. So, if correct me if I'm wrong, but if it comes in as a special use and if it was to get approved, that only goes with
the person
requesting it.
Yeah, you're correct.
So they can't sell it and it still be a rental at
you're
that
exactly
point.
Exactly correct.
Okay. Okay. First up, I don't know if Tom is the representative or not, but I want to have the representative come up first and do a short presentation of what you're planning to do, please. Tell me your name again. Sorry.
Tammy.
Okay, Tammy. Yeah, I've got you on your second. Okay.
My mom and dad are Judy and Don Hahn.
Okay.
Well, like was stated here, we've had the property since 1984 and have always leased it on a year lease. And when the tenants moved out last October, we were doing some renovating and some upgrading of the property and come up with the idea of doing a nightly rental or weekly rental, not nightly because of the difficulty in trying to maintain like a motel does. So we don't want to do that. And then we've applied for this process. When we were here for the concept meeting, there were a couple of concerns that were brought up by the Planning Commission, one being the privacy fence. And I see that was one of the requirements. We have spoken to Ken Westfall, who is in that property that's closest to us, and he adamantly does not want a privacy fence placed between us.
Okay.
Now, that's something that's going to be required. I don't know how that'll be taken care of, but neither one of our adjacent neighbors want to have privacy fence put up. The other issue was the parking, and we have space for 6 cars. We also have the half lot that's next to the house where there was a concern about backing boats or sea-doos or something into the street, and there is room there in that half lot to make a half-circle drive so that you could come in and go out forwards and not be backing into the street without disturbing any of the environment as far as taking down any trees or any of the nature things that we have on that lot.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add right now?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go back up to the top and have Tom Rankin speak next.
Good evening. My name is Tom Rankin. I live at 184 Parkside Drive. And I don't know how many folks have signed up in opposition, but I think there's a lot of folks here that have chosen not to speak but are here just by their presence. And if I could allow them just to stand for a minute just to show if they're in opposition, don't plan on speaking. Could you all stand just to show your support? Thank you. You know, I guess the you know, we fought this several years ago for about a year with the house that was across the street from us at 184 Parkside. They were using the house illegally, had a website advertising it for nightly and weekly rentals, and it was against the law for them to be doing it, but yet they continued to do it the whole time we were fighting it. It wasn't really enforced until we finally won, and then they appealed it, and we still won, and that was upheld. And I guess enforcing it is a whole other issue, but that's what I'll come to later. Is how do you ever enforce it if you were to go down this road? I think you received 8 letters or so from other people that aren't here tonight that couldn't make it tonight, just in opposition. And really, the character of our neighborhood is in question. I'm sure the Hahns are good people. We have nothing against them personally, but Poverty Point is just a great established long-term neighborhood, and we'd like to keep it that way. We have nothing against them renting their house out like they lawfully could on a monthly basis, but we don't want to see it turned into nightly and weekly rentals. We've been down that road before. We fought it diligently, and we won. And anything against that would be setting a terrible precedent, we think. You know, there's laws in place that don't allow this type of use. And I guess one of our big questions is, why are we even here discussing this?
I actually do want to comment on that. There's not a law in place. That sign is deceiving.
Well, I guess you have to have a special use permit in order to do nightly or weekly rentals.
And so that's why they're here.
And I guess,
you know, I'm not for or against it. I just want to make sure everybody understands that they have that right, just like anybody else in this room has that right to make that request.
And is that request made through the concept hearing? Is
yes.
And can you explain that process real briefly? Do they have to meet certain requirements or just?
Yeah, generally speaking, the concept hearing, we just inform an applicant, whatever they're applying about, what issues may arise both at the commission and plus the history we've had, you know, in an area before, and said, you know, these are things that you may want to look at. These are things that we're certainly going to have concerns with. So they're more prepared tonight to answer questions that the public may have or that we may have. So that's really all the concept hearing is to prepare them for tonight to hopefully get the best information we can get as a commission to make a good decision.
Okay. So. Well, it's obviously a concern of ours. That's why we're all here.
Sure.
To speak in opposition. You know, I guess it's to try to put yourselves in our shoes. You know, if you all live in a residential neighborhood, if your neighbor started renting out their house, you know, on a nightly basis or weekly basis, that's not the point of a neighborhood. There's a place in Branson that can be done. We don't feel it's our neighborhood. You know, this neighborhood has been around for years, and it's been a great established neighborhood, and we like to keep it that way. When I talked earlier about enforcement, you know, it sounds like that it was said that they could have up to 6 adults using this on a nightly or weekly basis. You know, who's to say that would ever be enforced? How do you enforce that? You know, we dealt with that across the street. You know, websites were left up advertising it even while we were going through the process when they didn't have a use permit, but yet it was still allowed by the county to then continue advertising it, using it. We lived across the street from them. They had, you know, 5 to 8 cars in the driveway and 15-plus people spending the night every night, and nobody was enforcing it. You know, the easy decision, the correct decision, is to not allow a special use permit. And then we never start going down this road of whittling away at our established and respected neighborhood. I mean, we want to keep it that way. It's important to us, and we will continue to be diligent and continue to fight for our rights as a neighborhood and not allow nightly and weekly rentals. That's really all I have to say. Obviously, it's a passionate topic for us. We hope you understand that. A neighborhood is a very personal thing. And it's very personal to us. Again, nothing against the Hans. They're allowed by law to continue their monthly rentals. You know, more power to them. We just want to stop at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I think the next name is Buddy Burr. Does that sound right? Okay.
Let's see. I live at 803 Parkview Drive, which is right across the street. I have half a block 3, and my mother and father-in-law have the other half of block 3. And I'm not really opposed to it. I know there are going to be some restrictions, but, you know, I kind of feel like people should have some rights to use their property the way they want to. I've been involved in up to 250 rentals. I've been a broker since 85, and I've owned this property since 95. And basically, that's it. I'm
okay.
Not opposed to it, and I know my mother and father-in-law are, so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have a lot of the concerns everybody else does, so I'm not putting them down. I'm just.
Sure. That's fine.
State my opinion. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
I got some information.
Ma'am, if you signed up to speak, you can speak.
Well, there's a covenant that says no commercial other than the 2 motels.
Okay, thank you. Any covenants, not just here, but anywhere in the county where there's a covenant, those can be pursued civilly. But we don't deal with those at a planning and zoning commission level. That would be a civil, if you wanted to pursue that at a civil level, that's where you would do that. Okay? And if somebody else, there are some, I mean, we want to hear from the public if you've got something you want to say, but I do want to follow our rules and regs. So if anybody else wants to speak and sign this up, you're welcome to. Okay. Thank you. If the representative can come back up, Tammy, and then if there's questions from the commission for you. Anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I've got a question. I wasn't quite clear on what you're wanting to do. You're talking about nightly rental, but you said something in your statement a while ago about you didn't want to be there every night and morning like a motel.
Right.
About a weekly now.
We're looking more for a weekly rental, not a minimum of 3 days, so that it wouldn't be so much traffic coming in and out, somebody new every night, every day, every night, every day, something like that. It'd have to be a three-night minimum or a week.
Well, if you're going to do that, I think you have to amend your petition here before us, because your petition here says nightly rental.
I don't think we don't have a distinction between... Our only distinction is less than 30 days. Is that correct?
Yes.
Anything
yes.
less than 30-day rental would be...
I understand that, and I know I'm not aware of that. But if she changed her position to...
No, I think in my letter that I wrote, then, my proposal that I wrote, I don't know if you actually have what I wrote, I put 3-day and weekly in that. Right. Right.
Now, my feel is that could, if the Planning Commission were to approve the application, that could be placed as a condition... upon the special use permit, that
there's a minimum
number of nights.
Right.
Or
I think anything less than 30 days is what we consider night. We call that nightly rental.
Right. According to the guidance rules, that's the way it is in just less than 30 days.
What's your plans? How you're going to advertise it, and what's your arrangements to prepare it for the next renter?
Well, we have people that will, you know, myself included, will manage the property just like I manage the other 17 properties that we have. They're not nightly and weekly rentals, but we do, you know, maintain them. And I kind of was embarrassed that the leaves and things were picked up and that trash that was in the back of the house, all of that is cleaned up. So we do maintain our properties ourselves, have a crew that will do that. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we don't want to do the nightly rentals. You know, it's just that's way more work, and it's a lot more activity and a lot more to monitor. You know, we want to be a good neighbor. We've been in this neighborhood and for many years, you know, 27 years, and we want to be a good neighbor. And I respect these, you know, people in opposition, their opinion about this, and that's why we're here, is to, if we were to be granted this, we want to be good neighbors to them and provide, you know, this in a way that is compatible for everyone, and not to be a nuisance to anyone, but to maintain our property, to regulate, and to the best of our ability. I mean, in all reality, I understand Mr. Rankin's comment about enforcement, and all we can do is abide by the law, and, you know, that's exactly what we will do as far as enforcing only six. The house sleeps six. That's the maximum that will be allowed to rent. There will be no tents outside, none of this, you know, altered stuff. I mean, we're not that far away to monitor these things, and that's exactly what we'll do. I mean, we put a lot of money into our property and want to maintain it that way, and don't intend for anybody to misuse it or abuse it or be a bad neighbor to any of our neighbors, not just the ones that are next to us, but the ones that are down the road from us. And the other thing that I wrote down that I wanted to address that Mr. Rankin brought up is, it is a neighborhood, and I understand that, in a very well-established neighborhood, but it also has two motels in the same neighborhood that provide much more traffic than our place will ever provide. I mean, they stay full, you know, year-round. And so, you know, just, and maybe not defense, because I don't want to be defensive about any of this, but it's not just purely a residential neighborhood. There are businesses that have been established there since we've owned the property. So I hope maybe that answers your question.
Other questions from the commission?
I have a question about the fence. You said that Mr. Westfall was adamantly opposed to it.
Very adamantly opposed.
Does that go on? Is there enough? I'm not sure what the setback is for a fence in that area, but... is there enough room?
There's
about, they decided just to put it on their property instead of the property
feet,
line?
40 feet between, I guess, eave to eave, I think, is where the way the measurements are made between there. And he didn't want it for the cleanup purposes of, you know, grass growing up next to a fence. He's a, you know, an older man, and he said he's got arthritis, and he doesn't want to have to clean next to a fence. He feels like that was an impediment on, you know, blocking his property in where he has, you know, a nice view the way it is now. So both he and Mr. Powell, and Mr. Powell's on the other side of the wooded area there, and he too was concerned about putting in a fence. I mean, we were more than willing to do whatever you all ask us to do. But, again, we want to be good neighbors and abide with our neighbors, too.
And how many bedrooms and how many baths are in the house?
It's two-bedroom, one bath. Yeah, it's not a very big home.
And you're saying up to six people in a two-bedroom, one bath?
The house would sleep that. We have enough bed space, three queen-size beds, to sleep just six people, yes. So a matter of 15, you know, 12, 15 people is not going to happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And the nice thing about it is there's motels there. You know, if other family want to come, then, you know, they could do that, but not there. And like I said, we've put a lot of money into our property to maintain it and update it, and I want people to...
And it's currently rental property?
Yes, yes, has been since it was purchased.
You mentioned that you had 17 of these properties. Is any of them a nightly rental?
No, they're all in Springfield, and they're in, you know, residential in Midtown Springfield.
So you haven't had any experience with this nightly rental stuff yet?
No. No. But I didn't address your advertising. We will do it through a reputable website company called Home Away is the only site that we will use where the contracts and different things like that are an information to help us know how to do this properly and correctly as far as abiding by not just Taney County but Hollister rules and laws and that sort of thing. So,
okay. Any more questions from the commission? Okay. Thank you. We will next, our meeting is next Monday, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to tell everybody the wrong day. Before we move on, you all are welcome to stay for the rest of this meeting if you'd like. I know a lot of you are here for this. But if you'd like, we'll just take like a two-minute recess if you all want to exit, or you're welcome to stay for the rest of this. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to wait, but we'll be making a decision on this next Monday. So if there's any other additional information you need to get to us, the best way to do that is through the office, through the Planning and Zoning Office. Thank you very much. And if you would, please, any visiting you're going to do, if you would do it outside, that would be great because we've got a lot of things we still need to discuss. Is Phyllis Tate the person requesting that that signed up, or is it somebody else? Do we know? Yeah.
Yes.
That's the applicant?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And is Gary the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Good enough. We'll give them just a minute or so to clear the hall. They're like me. They like to visit afterwards, so it's... Okay, let's move on. Next item on the agenda is Angel's Rest Gift Shop, and we do have a representative here tonight for Angel's Rest. Okay, very good.
Okay. This is case number 2011-24.
Give me just a minute.
It's a public hearing for the Angel's Rest Gift Shop located at 407 Holstein Drive, Taneyville, Missouri. The applicant is Phyllis Tate. And she's requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to utilize an existing 320-square-foot building as the Angel's Rest gift shop. According to the assessor's information, the mobile home was placed on site in 1989, with the accessory building being constructed in 1995. The current application was approved for concept on October 17th. this is a view of the property. This is Taneyville up here, and it's just a little to the south of Taneyville. And same thing here. The general description, of course, the subject property contains approximately 1.5 acres, and it's located at 407 Holstein Drive, Taneyville, Missouri. The property currently contains a mobile home and accessory building. And in review, the applicant has indicated that the majority of the business would be conducted online, with the building acting primarily as an assembly location for jewelry and other crafts for sale. The employees of the business, from my understanding, will be family members. The existing parking area will meet the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Basically, it would just require two spaces for the 320-square-foot building. There is an existing residence immediately to the east. However, the applicant is planning to preserve the existing vegetation. The project received a total score of negative 16 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 75. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, utilities, screening of solid waste containers, screening of outdoor equipment, and emergency services. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Of course, compliance with the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, compliance letters from the fire district, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. The decision is subject to all existing easements. A 25-foot natural vegetative buffer shall be preserved along the eastern property boundary between the property in question and the adjoining residences to the east. And, of course, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. We've got just a brief video here. And I did do a little bouncing as we went in the driveway here, but of course this is the existing drive into the property. This is the building that would be utilized as the gift shop, and then here's the existing residence.
That's one parcel, right? So that parcel would become, is this a special use request also? No, it's a Division 3 permit.
Yeah, we actually looked at it. It is a Division 3.
So the whole property would become commercial?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? This is what we're looking at.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The driveway that we looked at is all part of the property. There's nobody else uses your driveway except for you get to your house.
Just us.
Okay. Let me go ahead and call her up. Thank you. Phyllis, is that right? Phyllis Tate?
Yes.
Okay. Come on up, please. Hi, Phyllis.
I guess I can tell you the same thing I told you last time.
That'd be good.
We are in progress getting the property cleaned up because there was so much stuff in the storage. I do have the final inspection paper from the fire department. I don't know whether they've sent a letter or anything, but I do have the little piece of paper.
Okay.
As I said, most of the business is going to the internet. We don't expect to have a large volume of traffic at any time.
Okay. Are you going to have open hours? I mean, hours where you are open to the public?
Yes, I will have open hours. I plan on Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4. The neighbors that I have talked to do not have any problem with us doing that.
What type of signage do you plan to have to direct people to that?
Basically just a little 4x4.
On the property?
Our neighbor down toward Winkle Creek, I think, is going to allow us to put one on his fence, and then one like what was on mine there at the house. I'm going to put up some flyers in town, so it's going to be more on the order of flyers, call for instructions or call for directions.
Okay.
As far as the signage, I don't expect to put up a whole lot.
Okay. Anything else you want to add? Okay. Questions from the commission?
Yes. The people who own 487 and 467, are they here tonight? I'll take her word for it that you have no objection to it then.
Okay, I don't have any questions at this time.
Okay. Anything else from the commission? All right. Thank you. Last one on our agenda is Verizon Wireless. We've got a representative here tonight from them. Okay, very good.
Okay, and this is case number 2011-25, and it's the public hearing for Verizon Wireless Telecommunications Tower to be located off of Church Camp Road, Taneyville, Missouri. The representative, Gary Buster, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to allow Verizon Wireless to construct a new 250-foot-tall self-support telecommunications tower on property owned by Ricky and Rhonda Turner, who are the applicants. The history on this, the proposed tower would be located on approximately 82 acres, on an 82-acre parcel of land that's accessed via Church Camp Road. On April 19, 1999, the Taney County Planning Commission approved a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of a basically a 1,000-foot-tall transmission tower on the same 82-acre parcel of property. The existing tower was originally constructed to transmit Channel 31, a full-service local television station based out of Harrison, Arkansas. Representatives from Verizon Wireless have indicated to our office that it is their understanding that Daystar Communications acquired interest in the prime lease for this tower from EBC Harrison Incorporated in a bankruptcy proceeding. However, the county assessor's information indicates that EBC of Harrison Incorporated is the owner of the existing tower. Verizon Wireless has indicated that there are existing liens for 2008 and 2009 for unpaid real estate taxes on the existing tower parcel in the aggregate amount of approximately $43,512.05 as of April 19th of 2010. The representative has submitted a letter from basically Verizon's legal counsel to Daystar Communications requesting that Daystar provide documentation or information showing that its interest is not subject to the existing tax liens, either by bankruptcy court order or documentation from Daystar's counsel certifying that the tax authorities received proper notice of sale and did not object to the same. It is my understanding that this documentation has never been provided by Daystar. The representative has indicated that Verizon Wireless initially did seek to co-locate on the existing tower, but however, in this instance, they are seeking to construct a new tower in lieu of co-location, basically because of the delinquent tax situation. I did contact the Collector of Revenue's office and spoke with Melanie Smith, and she indicated that an aggregate amount of approximately $69,422,000 of unpaid real estate taxes are currently due for basically 2008 through 2011 on this existing tower parcel. The base real estate tax amount due per year on the tower is $17,000. Ms. Smith further stated that the existing tower parcel may not be placed on the tax sale at this time until such time that the collector's office receives a bankruptcy court order. Basically, they haven't ever received a bankruptcy court order showing that this has been purchased out of bankruptcy. So long as the tower parcel is shown to be in bankruptcy, interest does not compound upon the unpaid taxes. The current application was approved for concept on October 17th of this year. This is the property in question. Taneyville's up in this area, so a little to the south of Taneyville here. And like I said, the subject property contains 82 acres, and the existing tower is located here. The proposed tower would be more in this area, basically. In review, the proposed tower will be located on a rural 82-acre parcel of land with no buildings within the 250-foot fall distance. The representative has indicated that a signed lease agreement will be submitted to the planning department, indicating that should the tower no longer be in use for the original purpose granted by the Division 3 permit, that the tower will be dismantled and removed within 6 months of the cessation of operations. Of course, co-location is always looked upon as being preferable. However, due to the existing tax liens, this may simply not be feasible. The project received a total score of 3 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 45. The relative policies receiving a negative score consists of right-of-way on existing roads, utilities, industrial landscape buffers, and residential privacies. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance, of course, with the Taney County Development Guidance Code, a compliance letter from the FAA, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Of course, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Division 2 permits will be required for the construction of the tower. And then the signed lease agreement shall be submitted to the planning department, indicating that should the telecommunications tower no longer be in use, that basically the tower must be dismantled and removed within 6 months of cessation of operations. And we're also, the staff is also proposing a condition in which the applicant would provide a notarized statement in writing, providing a position on the proposed tower at no cost to emergency services entities. What we found there is that the county actually is currently leasing sites on some of these towers. And it was thought if we could have them provide a spot for emergency services antenna as a part of this decision, it would really be helpful.
Is that something we've done in the past?
I'll be honest. I don't know that it is. It is, yes. Something. Is it? Okay.
That we've had them,
yeah,
give us a notarized,
yeah,
letter in the past?
But you have insurance problems to contend with. And there are some problems, because I dealt with that when I was with the water district, and we got into that thing.
Maybe you can help us with that.
Matter of fact, we got one up there we didn't get down, and they were putting stuff on the air that shouldn't have.
and of course, the decision of record would be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval would expire. And got a brief video of this. This is the drive going in. The existing tower's actually, whoa, sorry. The existing tower's actually over in this area. The proposed tower would be more just pretty much dead ahead from my understanding.
There's no structures out here other than the tower that's out there now?
Yeah.
I mean, no residences.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. Other than the existing tower, that's pretty much it. And pretty much the proposed tower would be over in this area. And, sorry, I forgot that I... And the existing tower is right over here.
Okay. Thank you. We've only got one person signed up to speak, and that's Gary Buster, the representative. So if you would, Gary, come on up.
I'm Gary Buster, and I'm representing the Turners and Verizon on this project. As stated, we're looking at putting up a new tower at that location. The reason being, because of the tax issues on the existing tower. We're going to co-locate at every, you know, reason to co-locate, but they won't take care of their delinquent taxes. And we can't go into another business with them knowing they have delinquent taxes. I mean, the thing gets sold and our stuff, you know. So that's the reason we're looking at putting a new tower on the property. And any questions?
Okay. Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, it is past the 1,000 feet. It's 1,000 feet away from the existing tower. It will be.
I don't know if you've got a ruler on your Google Earth that you could measure that or not. I haven't measured that.
I apologize. I didn't catch the question.
Is it farther than the tower height of the existing tower away?
I'm not positive either.
I'm not sure if it is or not.
And is it structurally sound, that the tower that's there?
I don't know anything about that existing tower. I do know that the majority of towers are designed so when a wind load gets to a certain degree at different levels of the tower, it will bend in on itself versus just collapsing all at once. But I don't have anything on their existing tower.
Is that something we want to make sure we see before we move on?
I saw all the guide wires on the other one. It looks like it had a bunch of guide wires on it.
Yeah, and we're beyond all the guide wires with this new tower. We're outside of that footprint.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I got something else. What kind of assurances would Verizon give us that this tower, if it got, heaven help us, delinquent in taxes, or if it was no longer needed? And what's to keep, we've dealt with this in the past, right? I've been on several of these. Is there anything, I'm sure they don't want to, but my feeling is there should be a deposit of some type, or
you mean like a
something
bond?
More than just a good like old a boy's word that this thing will be removed after it's done and it's reached the end of its useful life. Because I know of other towers around that are still here. They serve no useful purpose whatsoever anymore, even as new as the tower business is. And you can't get rid of the thing.
Right. I know they do have a removal clause in the lease.
Well, what do we... yes. Every lease I've ever seen come through this commission has had a removal clause.
Right.
But what do we have for enforcement of the removal clause? Nothing. It's just something printed on paper.
We could end up in the same position we're in now.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not getting the tower. You know it. But I've been fighting for this. I was off the commission for a while, but I've been fighting for it ever since it started coming around when the towers first started showing up, and we've never had anything come up yet. That gives us an effective tool for removal after the useful lifespan of it.
Well, from my perspective, all I can do is go by what your requirements are and follow those to the letter. And I think we have done that in this case with what we have done. I've got the affidavit from the, you know, the mailing and all that as required. And I don't know what else to say to that question.
Has this ever come up in your dealing with Verizon or stuff like that? Have you ever had to, put a non-refundable deposit on something like that?
Not that I've had to do, but I'm sure that some people have had to do that in different instances.
You know, we dealt with this way back in the 90s on, what did they call it? An irrevocable letter of credit. That's what it was that we dealt with. And then all of a sudden they'd get revoked. But anyhow.
Well, irrevocable letter of credits are only good for, they expire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually after a year. We get them all the time in utility business.
Now, exactly what you were saying. I do know in some communities there's a requirement directly in the regulations for a tower removal bond. Exactly what you're saying.
That's what I'm speaking of.
And because
I'm sure he read all the stuff we got, and we don't have anything in place now.
Which, quite frankly, is, I mean, that's a good point, Dave. Maybe that's something when we discuss our stuff we need to add. It really doesn't do much, you know. I know we're discussing a little bit outside of what we're talking about here, but that's something we need to maybe add to the agenda so we can at least talk about that.
But on the other hand, I didn't know whether he had power from Verizon that if we asked for it and it could be put into the decision of record, that we would have anything, that he had the ability to give us anything on that. I guess that's what I was fishing for.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the authority.
I didn't figure you probably did. But it isn't our task.
I have a question actually for Bob about number 7. I think it was number 7.
Now that's not
that
in
threw
our,
me off a little bit.
That's not in our regulations, I'll be honest. I mean, it's not spelled out.
Right. And I don't have the authority to say we'll do that either.
But
right. And so that one concerns me a little bit as far as having that in there. Now, I think it's, don't get me wrong, anything we can get to save the citizens of Taney County money is a good idea. But on the other hand, if somebody's building a 200-foot building, we're not requiring them to put antennas
think,
on top
I
of their building.
We can legally
I don't think we can ask for that.
We're not asking.
Right. That's, I don't know what everybody, I want the commission's thoughts on that as far as what you think about.
I've seen that come up on other things before. And
yeah.
Well,
I don't know where, I'm sure that request came from somewhere.
I'll tell you, it was built into some regulations I had seen at another location, but
okay.
that's not anything that's in our current regs. Of course, really there's nothing in our current regs that speaks to the them dismantling the tower either, but that's kind of been the practice.
I understand that we can ask for that. That to me is we're asking for revenue space off of a tower.
Normally,
the other stuff we're asking for regulations that protect the citizens. I'm not necessarily opposed to having that in there, but today,
I see where you're coming from.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You know,
in a legal sense. That.
So, I don't. I just was wanting the commission's opinion on that. Okay.
And possibly, you know, just reword it to leave a door open in the, as opposed to you will provide this, that discussion. If you want to address it at all, say discussions will be acceptable in case the Taney County Emergency Service wants to approach them.
Quite frankly, I'm a lot more comfortable asking for that after it's been approved than saying, you know what, if you give us this, then we might approve that. I'm not comfortable with the way that is worded.
I understand.
So it seems a little arm-twisting to me. So, not that we don't like to do that. You know, we enjoy a little arm-twisting every now and again. But in this case, nah. So, okay, anything else? All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We do have some old and new business, but I would like to officially welcome Steve to the commission. And we're glad to have you. So hope to see you a lot. So very good. So welcome. And I don't know if congratulations is in order, but we'll go with that. So congratulations. How's that?
Okay. Do my part.
Yeah, well, we appreciate having you and appreciate you stepping up to do that. We always appreciate what people have to say. We don't have to agree. I've scared anybody who agrees with me all the time because even though I'm always right, I still am scared of anybody who agrees with me.
I'm in favor of
okay.
That last statement.
Okay, yeah, you better not put that part in there. We do have some old business. Is that right? I know I've got some stuff here that I wanted to ask you about. I asked you last time about board appointments.
Yes.
And if you could let me know.
And what we found there, I'm drawing a blank on which districts, is why I'm hesitating, is in 2010, Big Creek and the Scott Townships are the two.
Who are those representatives?
And we don't currently have a representative for Big Creek, but the representative for Scott would be Susan Martin.
Okay. So what you're telling me is at the end of 2010, we don't have anybody right now for Big Creek, but at the end of 2010, Susan's appointment would be up.
Or 2011.
Sorry, 2011. My bad.
Really?
So what you would need to do is, if you're interested in continuing, I guess the way it's working with the commission these days is to let them know that you're interested, and then they'll make a decision from there on how they handle that. So, but what I would like you to do is let Bob know as soon as possible what your intentions are, so he can let the commission know as soon as possible. So hopefully 8-10 months down the road, you know, whether it's you or whether it's somebody new, that we've got them here, because it's nice to have almost a full commission again. So
exactly.
Whenever you feel comfortable making that decision, if you could let him know, and then if you would send something in writing to the commission to inform them what we've got open, so they know what they've got coming, so they can maybe get started.
Oh yeah, definitely.
On that. Whether it's deciding if they're gonna, you know, continue on with what we already have representing that, or whatever, however that works.
I really wish you watched the way you put that. What we already have representing. I'll tell you guys.
It's gonna be Susan or somebody.
Yeah. We'll have something.
Yeah. We scrape the bottom of the barrel. Find something.
Thanks, Sean. I just took you off my Christmas card list.
Man. Another Christmas card list I'm off of.
Yeah.
Yours and Steve's already today.
Pretty much.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but I still don't understand why that tower don't come up on the tax sale. I mean, I understood. I heard all the things. I don't hear well, but I got all that. Why would it be different than anything else? I mean, I had a sign on some property I had.
Right.
After the third year, it came up, and I bought the cost-taking thing just to clear there, you know.
It has something to do with bankruptcy court.
Is
yeah.
the tower a separate entity from anything else in our tax
I think it has to do with bankruptcy court.
I started to have her jump up and explain in more details. The collector was actually at the back.
Yeah,
just
I
didn't.
Saw Sheila back. I'm going to take it upon myself and just go talk to her, because Sheila and I are friends, known each other for 156 years.
Dave, she ain't that old. Another Christmas card gone.
Sheila's Christmas card list.
But anyway, Melissa too, and she knows this stuff well. She's
I got the impression it had something to do with the bankruptcy issue.
Evidently, it has. Yeah. But you know.
But you can see Verizon's point that they don't want to get hooked
up.
Oh,
I absolutely
get their deal infringed on.
Yeah,
I
just don't understand the tax thing. If it was anything I owned, it'd come up and they'd sell it courthouse tab. Yeah.
Well, the that was the way I understood it, was that they still showed the former owner owning it, and they just had never gotten anything.
I'm beginning to see a legal out on a problem or two. Okay, I'm done.
So next week we're going to discuss.
We've got the code amendments.
Code amendments, and you might, I don't know, can we talk about a couple of things that actually came up tonight with the thing that Dave mentioned?
I don't see why we couldn't.
Go ahead and make sure
we've got a lot of code amendments.
Make sure we get that on there too, so
okay.
I mean, we don't forget. And I don't mind dealing with the other issue that you brought up with number 7. I just personally don't like the way it.
I understand.
We'd like to leave it open for debate.
I'll tell you another thing. You getting into this legal thing, and I'll put this in, and I don't care if it can go on the record or whatever. But those signs that they put out there at the direction of Mr. Hershen more than likely have no legal basis whatsoever.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, anybody has the right to come in and make that request like these folks have done. And I tried to kind of make that clear up front so we didn't have people.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, there was a lot of things done during the era of that government that were just done on a whim of somebody that wanted to do it without naming any names.
Yeah, I mean, there's no code that backs that up. And so we're just going to follow our code and go forward. Let's try that for a while.
Hey, John, I've got a question for the commission. Has there ever been any other nightly rentals approved in subdivisions, single-family homes?
Didn't we have one? We've had a couple.
Yeah, there's been one.
Acacia Club was that, but that was weekly. I mean, we didn't, it was a minimum of six days.
Yes. Thing.
They're voting violation there, weekly and nightly voting.
Yeah. I don't understand what you mean.
Oh, we got the 30-day thing.
No, but they got approval. They came in and got approval.
The one we gave approval to down on Acacia Club Road that had the high fences all around it.
We're really going beyond what our code says.
I don't understand how, what you mean, Ray.
There's nothing in the code that says we can allow nightly rental, really. Is there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's...
And it really just...
Less than 30 days.
Yeah, it's just nightly rental.
I consider that.
So there is something, yeah, but there's something in our code that allows for that.
It basically looks at it as a special use permit for any rental less than a 30-day period.
I mean, it's in there.
But we can set the minimum amount of days like we did on the Acacia.
We can do that.
Again, how do you enforce that?
Well, how do you enforce six people? You can't. The only thing you can deal with that on is, I think, is if you start to get complaints, you send
an enforcement officer over there,
and you go from there, and it takes months to stop them. Just like, I mean, his point was very true, but we had no teeth to stop anything there, even though we knew they were doing it. It's over there right by State Park.
Frazier's, remember?
Beautiful area. It's back. Yeah.
The Big Resort and Rockview.
Yeah, it's right there. Just right around.
Before you get to them.
Yeah, right before you get to them.
Okay.
Kind of on a little bit of a slope on the right-hand side as you're going in. Mm-hmm. On the straight stretch there.
What's the name of
Yeah, you know that other road that turns back to the south and gets that long peninsula? It's right before that.
Dale runs right off of 160.
Before it makes the circle.
Yeah, before it makes the circle. Not the road that makes the complete circle.
Yeah, because
here's the road that goes to the south, 86 Highway.
Here's the house, and then is this, am I looking at this right? Those are the resorts, right?
They're about a big resort on down the hill. To your left.
And there's a bed and breakfast at the front.
Okay, I have a question about the grandfathered. When it says that the other ones were grandfathered in, how did, just out of curiosity, what was the code that they allowed the two resorts and the bed and breakfast to go in there? That was in before
there was a planning commission.
Right. That was in 1970.
Yeah, okay, so the bed and breakfast and both resorts were in before?
The bed and breakfast
No,
was
the
not.
Bed and breakfast wasn't.
The bed and breakfast is something that came through the planning commission, but was denied. But the two resorts were already there.
And the bed and breakfast was denied then. Is that what?
Well, there's one right up there by the isn't that a bed and breakfast right by the boat ramp in the front?
That's the thing about the resort, it was there before Poverty Point was developed.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the bed and breakfast right there on the left after you come around.
At the very front of the entrance, right at the boat ramp.
Right by the boat ramp.
Now, was the bed and breakfast built specifically to be a bed and breakfast, or is it a residential house?
I'm pretty sure it was built to be a bed and breakfast. Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it coming through. To be honest with you, that's way before.
I don't either.
I think the house you're talking about was a residence.
Okay, that was.
If we poured a lot of that concrete out there, I don't think that was built as a. I mean, I don't know.
Do you remember what year that was?
That's tough.
He's
well, it's not as old as you think.
I've been there too long.
Like in the
mid-90s.
Where is the bed and breakfast you're referring to now?
That's what I was wondering.
The one I'm talking about is farther to the east.
Right. Yeah, east.
Okay.
Farther to the
back
east.
Back out toward where you come in.
Can you move that, or is that just...
Just a picture.
Okay, it's just right before... As soon as you come in the subdivision,
I don't know if I've got one.
There's a boat ramp right there. It is just...
Yeah. To the right of the boat
ramp. Just to the right of the boat ramp.
And I think it was built for a bed and breakfast.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Before the curve...
Right at the curve. Right there. The curve. You turn into the
curve.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
That's what I was.
When we built that, it was a big house.
Really?
So it might have been for sure. But I don't ever remember it coming through the P&Z.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It may not have. I don't know, but it sure has been breakfast.
I don't think it was prior to that. It had to be in the 93.
Yeah, it would have been in the 90, early 90s, right? Yeah.
So technically, the commission has never approved one of these.
Yes, we have.
Not the rentals.
Well, can't you look on the...
But not in this neighborhood.
Well, never mind. It probably
we have, but not in this neighborhood.
Yeah, well, not in this neighborhood.
I mean, I would make...
We did this last year.
No, I mean...
On the case of club. And it was kind of a different circumstance.
Yeah.
Well, it was also totally walled in.
It was totally fenced in.
That bed and breakfast is not actually in what you call poverty.
Well, either way, it's in the county, though.
Well, I understand that.
It's got, just about where that sign is, probably.
But there's a big stone wall that encompasses it.
Up there?
No, down to the left.
Down here?
Up there, right?
We approved it for a minimum of 6
months. Almost bought a house down there.
Put something in there.
I lived on Siesta Cove, on around the Hilltop, for years.
Who'd you almost buy a house from?
I don't remember. Somebody bought it right before I got. We went to make an offer on it. And
was it a Combs?
It was that one on the cul-de-sac.
Just past where Bob Mabe lives.
It was on that cul-de-sac on Potential Drive, right there where she was just pointing.
Yeah, Bob Mabe lives on down Park.
He lives down Park.
No, it was on Potential. It's right on that point, actually.
Yeah, it's
Bob Mabe's house.
Yeah, it's right in here.
Yeah.
I love that house. Well,
and then like those resorts are
but
right
I
over here.
Get a big one. Like, I don't want it that bad. No.
So we're going to discuss the code amendments next Monday.
Yes.
Okay.
After our votes and concepts.
Okay.
Can I get an updated what we're going to talk about as far as code amendments and these additional ones we discussed tonight? Okay. And there so we kind of think about it.
Maybe a reminder of the stuff that didn't get passed yet that we've already sent on.
Yeah.
To kind of review. I really don't want to go in depth with all that, but I would like to review for any questions somebody's got.
Yeah, that's what
we're looking at.
Yeah. Plus,
if I could plus, see all that.
Okay.
Have you added any more to these, Bob, since last night?
Yeah, just now.
The ones tonight, I guess. The proposed.
And anything else that the commission can think of in the next, by the end of this week, by the end of what, Wednesday, probably. They need to get with you. Is that enough time?
Yeah.
After you get done with Thursday. He won't have nothing to do on Thursday.
I remember what Wednesday night is.
Yeah, he won't have anything to do on Thursday.
Thursday may be a little calmer.
Yeah, so don't even talk to him until Thursday.
Is this woman that's standing up there?
Board
of
Adjustment.
Is that a nice
racetrack?
She lives in Springfield?
No, she lives down here.
I'd like to come over
there.
Now,
where she lives, I don't know. Now, that's something we would want to bring up as far as who's going to be
as good as
care of that property for
it. Did you
ever go to one of those?
There's a bunch of people here against it.
She didn't say she lived in it. I don't think she lives in it.
You think it's funny, but it's not funny when it's affecting people's lives.
We do this all the time.